Rabbi Liebtag, Friday morning, finishing Yirmiyahu, rather Isaiah, before starting Yirmiyahu.
We usually see Yirmiyahu at the end of the first temple period, correct? How come people think that?
Because the Horeb.
It's the end of the first temple period.
Yeah, he lived through the Horeb.
So what I want to explain to you is that Yirmiyahu is the beginning of the second temple period. So I need a half hour to explain why.
Because it's the date. It says in what? 70 years you'll come back. So
for totally different reasons. No. The first temple period, I'm going to call like the joint monarchy, when we had all 12 tribes and so we had a split kingdom and everything. But basically, the Jewish people were living from, I want to use this to continue from the time period of Yishayahu. In the time period of Yishayahu, remember when we started with Uziel? Things were going great. I did this thing. I gave you this chart before, didn't I?
Yeah.
So some people still have it?
Yeah, you're the next one.
Okay, if you don't have it, I'll pass a couple more.
Thank you very much.
If you have it, fine. If that really doesn't need it. I just need one little thing today. The whole point of our first year was this high point of Uziel Yerovam, and this was, remember, it's another Kepa Meshichit. That was Nachon Yehar Beit Hashem Baruch Shaharim, everything would be great.
Looks like the stock market.
And Yoshiel basically, Yishayahu was telling the people, God bless you with prosperity, etc. You're not using it properly. He warned them, they didn't get the message. And therefore, the whole point we saw last week was your punishment for not listening to Nevi during the time of Uziel, and I guess the beginning of Yotam, was Ashur's got to come and wipe you out. And sure enough, during the early reign of Yotam, Ashur begins to become powerful. By the time we get to Ahaz, Ashur is like the superpower. And basically, in the time of Chizkiyahu, Ashur wipes out everybody. And what people don't realize is that Ashur did not only wipe out the 10 tribes, Ashur also wiped out almost all of Yehuda. Recently, they had something about Lachish. I forgot about the TV show. But if you've ever been to the Israel Museum, the British Museum has a real thing. In Nebuchadnezzar's, Sancheri's palace in Ninveh, which was the capital city, he had a whole wall relief, three walls, of the Battle of Lachish. And if Sancheri was a big conqueror, is decorating his palace with the victory over Lachish, that means that was a major victory. And he conquered a lot of lands. It's taking Lachish was the big, Lachish, you know where Lachish is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in Yehuda. That was like the Tel Aviv at the time. Because it's along the international highway. Lachish was the big place, and therefore, that's like a major victory. What I'm getting at, and that's the line here, I'm going to fold the page like this, where that little dot is. Right. Ashur's conquest of the 10 tribes, and they don't come back pretty much. We'll see, they come back a little bit later, but for all intents and purposes, it's over, the northern kingdom. And most of Yehuda is wiped out by Ashur. If you remember, Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. That's one of the last, that's like the last chapter we'll see in Yishayahu, which we'll go back to soon to appreciate Yirmiyahu. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, Bayit Rishon is over. But I'm going to show you today, now is it over, I'm going to show you that the time period of Menashe, that's the king after Chizkiyahu, is basically mamash the end of Bayit Rishon, because the temple was destroyed by Menashe. Not destroyed, but destroyed. I mean, closed down by Menashe. And the king goes into exile. And it's going to be written almost like exile. What I want to show you is the time of Menashe is rock bottom. And Yoshiel, I want to show you the time period of Yoshiel, which is going to start next. It can be understood as Rashid Smichat Gulatenu. And that's how it was viewed. And that's going to explain everything happening in Yirmiyahu. In other words, the people are going to view Sancheriv's conquest as the end. Like the first temple is over because basically that monarchy is over. And when things get better in the time of Yoshiel, they're not viewing that as just another king, but rather Yoshiel's time period is viewed by the people as the beginning of a whole new redemption. Like what I kind of call Rishit Tzmichat Gulatenu. And they're sure that the worst is over because Ashur is falling apart. And during the reign of Yoshiel, we'll see in a minute, Ashur is falling apart and Israel is growing leaps and bounds. And what Yirmi has to deal with is with the people who are like super duper sure that this is the final redemption, like this is Bayit Sheni, and this one's going to be great again, and things are going to go great. And Yirmi's best is basically going to be you have it all wrong. This is in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. This is still the end of Bayit Rishon. It could have been a Bayit Sheni. It could have been a revival, but they don't get the message again. I got my point? That's what I want to explain to you today. So what I need to do today is show you why the time period of Menashe is the end of Bayit Rishon. It'll be explicit. And then I have to show you how Yoshio tried to overturn that and begin like a whole new redemption process. And then later, imagine that Yirmiyahu explained what went wrong. Now it relates to Yishayahu because the redemption Yishayahu is going to talk about in the time of Chizkiyahu when Sanherib is like wiping everybody out, what Yishayahu talks about in chapter 11 of Melech HaMashiach is going to be viewed by a lot of people as Yoshio. Okay? So first I want to clarify that Menashe is the end of Bayit Rishon, and then we'll work backwards and forwards. Got that? Yes, we'll start. So let's start with Melachim Bet Perek Chavalef. Again, what I want to show you is that if you don't know what's happening historically, you can't appreciate what the later in the Vim are talking about.
Yep.
Melachim Bet Perek Chavalef. Chavalef. A little sad, but nice and simple.
321.
Again, Melachim Bet Chavalef. Just take a quick look in Perachav. Perachav, we have to go back to that's when Chizkiyahu got sick, and Yeshayahu tells him it's time to die, and then he prays. It's a famous story there. And then he has his whole view with his whole meeting later with the Babylonian king. We'll go back to that story later on. But look in Perachav Aleph. Have it? Ben 12 shana Menashe b'mocho, ו-55 shana melach b'yushalayim b'shem yimochev tziba. Menashe, 55, like one of the longest kings. But we'll see in a minute the worst one. V'yasara b'nei Hashem, ketuavot ha-goyim asher horish Hashem b'nei Yisrael. How bad was he? Not just bad, but worse than what? Than the nations of God kicked out of the land. Now, how come the Nabi is using that phrase?
It says kicked.
Yeah.
As bad.
No, we'll get to worse in a minute. It'll get worse. Take a look in look in Pasuk Tet. V'lo shemeo v'yatei Menashe lasot hara min ha'goyim asher. I'm sorry. Pasuk Yivet. Lachin kamar Hashem. No.
You
went Chavalev there? No, I went Chavalev. I'm sorry. Yeah, Pasuk Yivet is what I'm answering you. Yan asher sam Menashe melech Yudah toivot eile. Hiram Mikosher su hemori. Got that? He's worse than the other ones. First it's as bad as, and now it gets worse. As I say, it only gets worse. Now we see what he did wrong. Before I get to that, how come the Nebi's using Ketovot HaGoyim Asher Horish? Why that phrase?
They were expelled for abominations in the Jews.
Yeah, that's exactly almost word for word by Yikra Perek Yudchet. Remember? Remember what Yikra Yudchet says? Because of their toivot, God's throwing them out. I'm bringing you in to do something different. If you act like them, I'll throw you out. You know what I'm talking about? We read it in Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Using the exact same lashon. Okay, now back to Perek Chavalef and Melachim Bet. Pasuk Gimel. We'll say step by step what he did wrong. All the bamot. Stage number one, remember, Chizkiyahu got rid of the bamot. He brought the bamot back in. Baal worship. Step by step, not just Bamot, but also Avodah Zarah, Baal and Asherah. Like Achav did. You name it, he covered all his bases. In God's house, he built altars not for our God, but for those gods.
Alternative.
Yeah. In other words, in our temple, we had a whole like buffet of what?
Alternative.
Okay.
Why did he do this?
Why?
What motivated him?
The politics.
No, but what the Gemara will talk about is that he's really angry. Why? His anger is because, and this is like the biggest thing we're going to see all through the Machronim. Chizkiyahu was the firmest king ever, wasn't he?
His father.
Chizkiyahu, Menashe's father, was as firm as you could be. Remember, he cleaned up the Mikdash, got rid of the Bamot, brought back Avodat Hashem. And despite all that, Asher wiped us out, except the last minute. So Yerushalayim was saved at the last minute, But Chizkiah was a terrible failure because Asher wiped this out. During the reign of Chizkiah was the worst Korban, which makes no sense to the average person because Chizkiah was the firmest king ever since the time of David almost. He does a massive Pesach, he does a big Tshuva movement. And it doesn't make sense why someone can be so firm and so religious and God still bring a punishment. They just don't buy it.
So this disillusionment is what...
So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufir Aleph, about Aleph, says like this. We're learning Perek HaChelek, the end of Sanhedrin. So Perek HaChelek says there's four people without don't get Olam Haba, one of them is Menashe. So Rav Ashi was said, when he was learning, he said, tomorrow we're going to start with our buddy, Menashe, with our buddy. That night, Menashe came to him in a dream and says, you call me buddy? So he said, why? Because how come you're being mezalza? How come you're being making fun of me? He says, because you did all this avodah zarah, he says. So then Menashe asked a question. He goes, when you make a motzi, what part of the bread do you eat when you make the motzi? So Rav Ashi didn't know. So Menashe explained to him. It's called ifo the kari. You're supposed to make motzi from either the edge or from where it begins, where it's baked the most, from the crust, kind of thing. Ifo the kadim shulo. It's a sign of other reasons for not going to that brachot. So then, Rav Ashi asked him, you're such a Talmud Chacham, why'd you go astray? It was like from the Haskalah movement. So he told Rav Ashi, if you were living in my time period, you would have been running after me. You would have been following, you would have been one of my biggest followers.
To cap him.
He's saying, people, it's almost the Havdalah like after the Shoah, people are just so angry with God. It's out of anger. What he's doing, it's not because he doesn't believe in God. He's angry with God. And when people are angry, right, it's in spite. It's not this philosophical great thinker that what they call, oh, now I believe in Baal and Asherah. It's anger with God that leads him to all this. Why is he angry? Because how could God allow Asher to wipe this out? And therefore, he's the king of Israel. I'm going to teach God a lesson, pretty much. And therefore, he purposely takes like, in like Lahachis, we'll see, the word Lahachis is going to come from here in a minute. He gets God really angry. And he's building all these korbanot, all these misbechot, as you said, altar, in God's house.
So is there a defense team defending God against Menashe's accusation?
That's the prophet. That's Yishayahu Perek Aleph, and that's pretty much Yishayahu. Basically, that was the whole show we did in Yishayahu. That was his opening prayer. Chizkiah brought lots of korbanot and everything, but again, they're thinking that all God wants is prayer and korbanot. They still didn't fix their society. And therefore, we have to go back and see that. This, I simply want to see the end to appreciate. So we're going to use this parak to go backwards and forwards. The virat pasuk vav. Now he throws the book there. The virat b'no ba'esh. V'onei b'nichesh v'asa'ovi idonim. The belas of the rabbi Hashem lahachis. Not lahachis, but lahachis. You know the Yiddish. You know that saying, don't you? Lahachisnik? Yeah. It comes pretty much from here. Actually, you have Yechisoti is what you have thinking about Chetam Raglim, also you have the same wording. So when God does good things for you and you don't appreciate and think he's out to get you. So so basically everything under the sun, he does against God. ויאסם את פסל אשר עשה בבית אשר אמר השם על דוד ועל שלמה בנו בבית הזה וירושלמי שבחרתי מכל שבטי אשים את שמי לעולם. The very same place which was dedicated, the Mikdash that David and Shlomo built to make God's name great, what did Menashe did? He defiled it and purposely picked the names of other gods. And he said, לא אוסיף להניד רגע יישום מן האדמה אשר נתן אותם רק אם ישמור לעשות כל אשר ציוויתי מלאכות תורה אשר ציוויתי עבדי משה. God promised he wouldn't let the temple be destroyed on the condition of what? That they continue to follow my laws. V'lo shameu. Am Yisrael didn't listen to God, and therefore David has to explain why it's being destroyed. V'yatim min Hashem l'asuk t'atorah min ha'goyim asher yishmin Hashem l'ibnei b'nei Yisrael. V'yadav Hashem b'yadav v'davinim l'mor. Therefore, what was the message? Yan asher sam min Hashem melech Yehuda ha'tovot ha'ila. Hiram mikol asher asu emori asher l'fanav. V'yachtiv gam Yehuda b'gilulav. And listen carefully now. Now, that's the indictment. Now comes the punishment. L'chein kol marashem el Yisrael, inni mevi ra'al Yerushalayim v'Yehuda, asher kol shom'a titzan ha'shnei oznav. A terrible punishment is going to come on Israel and Yerushalayim, and anyone who hears it, his ears are going to Ring. You know where do we have that same wording? Shmuel's first nevuah. Shmuel got his first nevuah about the corruption in Shiloh. It's very first thing. That's exactly what God tells him. Take a look in Shmuel Aleph Perek Bet. Remember Lo Yidu Et Hashem. They were corrupt. They were running the Mikdash, but it was all full of corruption. And he gets his first here. In Perek Gimel Pasigir Aleph. That was when Eli asked Shmuel, "What did God tell you?" So he tells him as follows: "Ve'emar Hashem el Shmuel." Have it. Perek Gimel Pasigir Aleph and Shmuel. Ve'emar Hashem el Shmuel. Hinei Anochi Oseh Davar BiYisrael Asher Kol Shomo Titzilena Shnei Ozna. And we're talking about Korban Shiloh. It's when Shiloh was destroyed. Remember when they lose the Aron and everything. So the first time the Mishkan is destroyed in Shiloh, we have this phrase, and now it's going to be something similar.
Do the ends count? If the people would be graded tzedek and mishpat in a great society, but still believe in avodah zarah, would it matter? It must be together. It must be God and a great.
When we go back to Yishayahu Perek Yud Aleph, that's exactly what he talks about. They pretty much go ahead. It's not, you can't do. It doesn't make sense if you're doing both. So, it wouldn't be. It's like one reflects the other.
So you can only have a great society if they followed Hashem.
That's the assumption, but we'll go back. We'll go back to that. We have to do Yishayahu Yud Aleph to see what Melech Mashiach is talking about. Then listen carefully to the Churban. Then you hear that again. Then I will give Yerushalayim the Kaf Shomron, the Mishkan of Beit Achav, and Machit Yet Yerushalayim Kasher Imchet Hatzlachet Machav Atachah Paneh. The same thing that happened to Yerushalayim, I mean to Shomron, which was destroyed already by Sancheri, the same thing is going to happen to Yerushalayim. It's not a one-time thing. It's ever since I left Egypt. Therefore, I can't keep on forgiving them. We got them Meki Shavach Min Hashem Ben Merod Asher Midat Yerushalayim Pe'al Ote Levan Mechta Asher Echtit Yidah Lasot Rabbi Ne Hashem. Then we have to be very Min Hashem. Now, everyone knows the famous Gemara Yoma that talks about the difference between why the first temple was destroyed and the second temple.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the second temple was the famous
and
the first temple
idolatry,
the big three,
adultery.
All of the Sukkim, the Gemara quotes for the big three are from here, from the Nashe. Want to see all three? Shvuch v'damim we just saw, right? So that's Shvuch v'damim. Avodah Zarah we just read. Got it? And where's Arayot? That's the Toivot. Because the Pasuk of Toivot that they're doing, that's word for word from Vayikra, which is exactly what's about the Toivot of the Goyim. The Pasuk we're quoting from Vayikra that doing like the Goyim did is exactly the Pasuk in Vayikra Yudchet. Because all these Toivot, all these Arayot, the people, that's why it's throwing them out. Which is really important to remember, because when Chazal talk about Bayit Rishon being destroyed because of the big three, it's not talking about the time period of Yirmiyahu we're going to see. That's a mistake a lot of people make, almost everyone makes, because we don't find that in the end of Yirmiyahu. In time of Yirmiyahu, they're davening, they're firm, they're super firm. It gets really complicated. But I'm bringing another proof that this is the Korban of Bayit Rishon for all intents and purposes. Now we'll talk about what happens to the king in a minute. I mean, that's the end of Menashe here. Amon becomes king for 2 years and he gets assassinated. And then Yoshiah becomes king. Now, I'm going to pick up the rest of the story now in Divrei Hayamim, which is a bit of, it's almost the same, but a different ending. In Divrei Hayamim Bet, this is Chavav. Divrei Hayamim Bet, almost the end of the Tanakh. If I'm not mistaken, it's Chavav, it might be earlier. That was probably, yes, it's probably Lamed something. No, Lamed Gimel.
Lamed
Gimel. Second. Then Sanhedrin was Lamed Bet. Chizkiyahu was Lamed. Yeah. Yeah, Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel.
I'm sorry.
Divrei Hayamim Bet, 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. That's Lamed Gimel. The first nine psukim are copy paste, pretty much. But we read this before. Menashe was 12, 55 years. Edom was bad. Building mizbechot. That's what Rami Nachman said.
What's the purpose of this book?
Divrei Hayamim. We'll talk about it. Basically. Divrei Hayamim is coming, written by Sheni, to talk about, to inspire the people to get the temple built, and takes all the examples of good or bad about the temple from Beit Rishon. It was the main topic is temple related. It's all people like David who make great efforts to rebuild up Yerushalayim in the temple, and people who did bad things in the temple, like Uziel breaking Torah and things like that. Because it was written in the beginning by Sheni because people were apathetic about building the house, so they write a book to inspire the people who should build the house. Now, in Pasuk Yud. Again, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Ve'yavei Hashem aleihem et tzarei hatzava asher lemelech Hashor. Listen carefully. Ve'yikudu et Menashe b'chochim v'yasru b'nchushtayim v'yulchem b'vela. That people didn't know. King Menashe was captured by the Assyrians and he was exiled to Babel. It's the same pasuk we have later by Tzidkiel. Word for word. I mean, by Yehoyachin also. He's taken captive and taken to Babel. Which means Menashe destroyed the temple for all intents and purposes, didn't he? He turned into there's no more temple for God there anymore. The king is taken into exile. Most of the people are in exile, aren't they? The 10 tribes are gone. Most of Yehuda is gone. Yerushalayim is left, but almost nothing's there.
It says he's returned.
But no. Then we change them. Towards, I guess much later, Uchadserlo, when in trouble, now in jail, in Babel, in Ashur, Chilat Pnei Hashem Elohav, Vayikana Me'od, Lipnei Hashem Elohavotav. Vayipaleo Elav, Vayeter Lo, Vayishma Tchinato, Vayishmeo Yerushalayim Lamachuto, Vayidam Menashe Hashem Elohim. So Menashe did tshuva, believe it or not. ואחריכים בנה חומה, חיצונה לעיר דוד, מערבה לגיחון בנחה ולבוא בשער דגים, בסף על אופן, והגבה מאוד, בעצם שרחי הבוחרים ובצורת ביהודה. If you've ever been to עיר דוד, into the new, all the, like the last 5-10 years they opened it up, by the outside the Gichon Spring, there's this giant, massive building project, hand-covered, I don't know if you've seen that there.
Yeah.
So we have a big building project west of the Gichon. It's probably referring to this, he stated to that. Everyone was surprised when they actually found it, and it fits the psukim perfectly. Now, we're going to see something amazing, is that towards the end of Menashe's time period, even before Yoshiel, Israel begins to grow leaps and bounds again, which will be really important. We'll see why soon. Now, we'll talk about the political reason for this in a minute, but the Nevi is saying that towards the end of his rule, he does tshuva. Then v'yasa t'alei nechar ha'semun b'it Hashem b'chom mizbo'ot asher b'na b'har b'it Hashem b'shalem b'yesh echa b'utza l'air. Basically cleaned up the big mess he made. Fix the Mikdash back up again. Why? He comes back and fixes up everything he did wrong. V'yivet mizbach Hashem v'yizbach alav ziv cheshlamin b'todah v'yemr du'udah alavu et Hashem ala Yisrael. Av'oram b'zofchim b'abamot rak l'Hashem alayhem. They couldn't stop the shtiblach, but no more Baal, no more Asherah, no more Avodah Zarah.
Okay. They're giving
Korban Moshe. No, it's Bamot or return, but Bamot for God, like they always were.
The Chol
Zot,
he doesn't get
That's the Sugi in the Gemara, but he did Shubarna. Sometimes he's so bad. That's also again, Sanhedrin. V'yete divrei Menashe v'tfilato Elohav, v'divrei achuzim ha'mdabrim elav, v'shem Hashem ha'i Yisrael, yinem ha'divrei ma'chai Yisrael. ותפילתו והיתר לו וחמתו מעלו במקומות אשר בנה בהם ומות במיד אשרים והפסידים לפני היכנו הנה מכתיבים עוד דברי חוזר וישכם מנשים אבותיו ויקבור בביתו וימלוך המון תפנות תחתיו and when Amon becomes king okay, he does rabbi in Hashem like Menashe did in his bad days and וכל הפסידים אשר עשה מנשה אביב זיבח במון בעבדם ולא נכתם בפני Hashem כי נה מנשה אביב כי הוא עמוד לבעל שמה והקשור עליו קשר Basically, what's happening He said, towards the end of Menashe's life, he does tshuva. His son Amon, when he takes over,
skip that part.
Just goes back to his father's old ways.
The old days.
He's angry, like the good old days. And the from extremists, assassinate Amon, who's going back. And then the people assassinate him. It's like a little civil war. But you understand why people want to assassinate? You understand why the from people want to assassinate
Amon? Well, Menashe, you said, had a disillusionment issue. What was Amon's problem? He saw his father being returned.
He was raised on it. Yeah, it becomes part of his culture. Now, what led to this? How come Ashur allowed Menashe to come back? So if you look at the history of the time period, the Assyrian Empire, which was at the time of Sanherib, like in the beginning of Menashe's reign, was on a high. Remember Menashe king for some 50 years?
55
years. Yeah. During Menashe's reign, it slowly began to disintegrate. And at the end of Menashe's reign, already they're falling apart. And now they need Israel, as a buffer, now they need Israel to support them. Now Israel is going to be in a position where they need, they want people in Israel to help them against Egypt and against Babel, etc. So now they're doing them a favor and letting their king come back and hoping that if they bring Menashe back, to be pro-Assyrian. We'll see later on who's going to go to Egypt, who's going to go to Babel. Remember later there's going to be a war in Carchemish when Yoshiel dies. There's a big fight now for who's going to control the Middle East. Now, what's the reason for this tremendous growth? When the Assyrian Empire begins to crumble, and this is what's the most important thing, it's falling, everyone's hoping, what I call Ding Dong, the witch is dead, from Wizard of Oz. Ashur was the wicked witch for over 100 years. When they leave, everyone's hoping, A, that they won't return for sure, that they're falling and they'll be gone, and hoping no one else will take over. They want a new Middle East. There's
a vacuum.
Yeah, there's a vacuum. Yeah. And that vacuum that's caused by Ashur falling apart, Israel now in a very strong position, and that leads to the tremendous growth. The growth in the time of end of Menashe and early Yoshiel is tremendous. Ramat Rachel is one of the biggest examples of it. They've ever been to Ramat Rachel and the palaces they built there. The waterworks they do. There's great building going on. Late Menashe, early Yoshiel, and goes on towards the end of Yoshiel. And we're going to see how Yoshiel is going to become a superpower. Almost. Not like Uziel, but way better than before. This is going to recover tremendously to the point that Yoshiel's recovery is going to be a type of. We're going to read now about Reshit Tzmichat Golotenu. So, remain now in Divrei Yamin. Now we're in Perek Lamed Daled. Again, Amon went bad. Remember, Amon went bad? And within 2 years, he got assassinated. And then the people who assassinated him are killed by Amon's loyal people. And they make Yoshiel king, who we've seen him in, as a little kid. And therefore, Amon's government is still pretty much running the show, and Yoshiel is a puppet king until he gets older. So listen, look into our plan now. Then Shmona Shanim Yoshiel b'mocho u'shoshim v'chad shana malach Yerushalayim. Got it? He becomes king when he's 8, which means he's not king, but he's king. Got it? Who's running the show? Amon's people. And he dies very young, relatively. He dies at age 39. That's when he goes to war against Yitzrayim, against Paro Necho in Megiddo. He gets an A+. What's that mean? 8 years into his reign, he's 16, he went to Yeshiva Tichoni. He went to Mekor Chaim, he got Trudan, etc. And he began to Lidrosh at Hashem Al Aviv. What does he do? 12 years into his reign, now he's 20. After 4 years. No, the 12th year of his reign, 4 years later. He finished Yeshiva Tichoni. He started first year, maybe Mechina or something. And by the time he's 20, he has a tour from the army because he's king. By the time he's 20, he begins to do what? He cleaned up Jerusalem from all the idol worship. Got it? And now we see what Amon brought back in. Because what he had to clean up Israel from? From the Bamot, Asherim, Silim, and Masechot. Now, and he does a good job. Listen what he does. וינצום בפניו במשפחות הבעלים והחמנים אשר למעלה מעליהם גידיה ואשרים והפסילים מסכות שיבר והדק וידע ויסרוק את פני הכברים הזרוכים אליהם ועצמות כברים שרף על משפחותם ותרת יהודה ואת ירושלים. He does a religious reform. He's like smashing all the idols. It's like Dvarim Perek Yudbet has to do against the Knanim. He's going to metaher Yerushalayim. And what year does he begin? In year 12 of his reign. Got that?
What about an educational reform? They're just destroying the building.
Well, you see that? That'll come in another 6 years' time. Hmm. Okay.
Okay. It's the young who can revolutionize.
What?
It's the young who can revolutionize.
But you see this movement, and then listen carefully now. Pasuk Vav. Uberei Menashe v'Ephraim v'Shimon v'ad Naphtali v'chorvotei m'saviv. He also wiped out the idol worship where? In a Rei Menashe, Ephraim, and Naphtali. How did we get there?
Well, they've been destroyed before from the Assyrian.
But what are we doing there? Weren't they 10 times? We came back.
Yeah.
If we're in Menashe, if we're in Ephraim, Menashe, and Naphtali, this is Shivat Zion. Understand, we're back in our land. Got my point?
Unless Yehuda expands north, did the tribes actually return?
There is no
Israel. They were.
They got mingled. Sancheir came and mixed everybody up because the people from up north came to Yehuda when the 10 tribes got wiped out.
So we're not sure the Shvatim were actually there, or just the
no.
Land?
We're in the land of those Shvatim.
Yeah.
Now we're not saying that Shevet returned,
right?
But Yehuda now expanded up north. Whoever's left, there's no longer 12 tribes anymore. Who's ever we're Am Yisrael now. Yehuda's now a name for everybody. Now, one more line. When I take it, Bisbohat Asirim, Sidim, Kitet Ladek, Bohabim Gideh, Bohar Sisra, Beheshav Yushalayim. He's on a mass thing, and then, in the 18th year of his reign, in the middle of cleaning up the land, he decides it's time to renovate the temple. Remember, it was wiped out, it was sort of messed up by Menashe and everything, but now he's going to renovate the temple. And in the middle of renovating the temple, guess what's going to happen? We'll read about it next time. They find the Sefer Torah. And they make a big deal about it, and it's opened up to the Tochachar or something, and they make a whole big ado about it, and then because of it, there could be a big gathering. They go to Chuldan. Chuldan says it's the lost cause, and Yoshias don't give up hope. And in Paraklamet Hey, they're going to do a big Passover after cleaning up the temple, and in Paraklamet, what's the big Brit they do? In the end of Perak Lamed Dalet, before the Pesach. Yeah, in Lamed Dalet Chavtet. Veshach Melech v'yosof v'kol zikni Yehuda v'yam Melech b'it Asher v'choish Yehuda v'yosho Yerushalayim v'akonim alavim v'chol ami gedol v'katan v'ikrov v'zneim v'kol zikni v'yosef v'abrit v'nisa b'it Asher v'yamod ha-melech amdo v'ikrot v'it abrit v'fnei Hashem l'lechet achrei Hashem l'shmor mitu v'stav yedotav v'chukav v'chol avav v'chon afshor l'asot et divrei abrit ha-ktubim ha-sefer hazeh. They made it Kohen in Sabi Yerushalayim v'Binyamin v'yasu Yeshua Yerushalayim v'Bitalim el Yavotam v'yasu Yeshua et kol ha-toivot v'kol ha-artzot asher v'nei Yisrael v'avid et kol asher in Sabi Yerushalayim l'avod et Hashem alayhem koi bav l'asur me'achol ha-Hashem alayhem avoteh. Got it? That's called the Josean Reform. Now what I want to claim is, and then they make a big Passover that year in the 18th year, and take a look in the end of Perek Lamed Hey.
Is this only because times are good or because of this times are good?
We'll talk about it in 1 second. In Pasuk Yitret, in Perek Lamed Hey, Lo Nase Pesach Kmo Bisom Mimei Shmuel HaNavid. Mechom Echis Asher Kepesach Shasei Yishiyah Shmuel HaNavid.
That was even David.
This is the greatest Passover ever. Passover VIP. This was like the biggest. This is wool.
A lot of singing, a lot of Bartov.
Now, what I'm doing, what I want to simply describe now, is this reform of Yoshiel that coincides with the fall of Ashur and tremendous economic growth and political growth, everyone sees as this is Reshis Minchas Milateinu. Got it? And we're doing great. Now, what's that do with Yirmiyahu? In what year does he begin his reform? Remember, when he became king, he was a little kid.
Right.
At age 16, he begins to learn, Echad Lidrosh. Age 20, which is the 12th year of his reign. Now, look at the first line of the book of Yirmiyahu. You read it first week of the 3 weeks. Something read it for Shemot.
Yirmiyahu what?
Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph, the first line.
Mm-hmm.
ים עם הבן פרקיה בין הפרים שבנתו בארץ בנימין he begins his career from the 13th year of Yoshiel until Yoshiel's death and during the reign of 11 years of Yehoiakim and 11 years of Sidkiel until Korban Yerushalayim sometimes that's a total of 40 years now what happens Yirmiyahu's prophetic career coincides with who?
With
coincides with Yoshiel which means he's the Navi behind all this reform
is he responsible for doing
he's I guess he's part of being behind it he must be part of it
or certainly supported
yeah it can't be by chance that his career begins exactly when the reform begins
well no he was brought by Hashem because now people
don't deserve it yeah so what I'm getting at is that when you look at this picture the worst is over brother Sven Kherev is gone and we'll see later in Yirmiyahu that there's Mamashik there's they bring Shvatim back
I mean is he the house Navi to the king I mean so you can't get better than that if that's the case
the event that's going to ruin everything is when he goes to war when everyone's sure that this is a club of Shechit and he goes to war against a superpower thinking our armies we have this Avirab Rishis Mechaz Golotenu and thinking God's on your side and people return to God like crazy because God's on their side and we have to talk about what's going to happen as long as God's on your side let's serve God but the second things don't go good then they dump them like teenagers dump girlfriends when they're working for you fine when you don't like them and that's going to be the big question there's going to be a tremendous feeling of some kind of Rishi Smechad Gulatenu during this time period and everyone's sure that the worst is over and this is what I call Bai Chani why am I doing this before if I finish Yishayel A because of Perek Yomis in Yishayel now but when Yishayel talks about the return Yishayel talks about the Korban Yishayel is also going to talk about what will bring Mashiach what will fix things he's going to have a vision of Mashiachiyut of return and in the time period of Yirmiyahu everyone I think is feeling that this is the redemption that Yishayel was talking about
isn't he killed by a stray arrow like Hashem confronted it was just
he was killed because he went to war against a superpower they had, we'll see that he goes to war he had no business going to war to they thought their army was so great they could take on a superpower we'll see what Chazal say about it now the main picture I wanted to paint it was exactly that picture hope you understand what I did today because this is helps us understand the end of the time period of Yishayel according to Chazal Menashe killed Yishayel and that's why he's not mentioned in his opening line of him and there's logic to it also
chopped him in a tree
because Yishayel was still telling him don't do this basically Yishayel was Chizkiel's big advisor and if Yishayel can't help Chizkiel himself from he's like just really angry
isn't he the grandpa?
No, that's some people say that's not so sure whether
he gave his daughter to Menashe his girl
there's Yishayel mentioned but it could be a lot of people named Yishayel so that's going to be the setting for Yirmiyahu understand and then as usual it's going to be there's going to be this tremendous prosperity growth etc and what's Yirmiyahu going to yell about the same thing Yishayel was yelling about you didn't fix your chevra and the old broken record again about Mishpat and Tzedakah again what
all things you read one mention of just society.
No, only about the returning to fix the Mikdash and Korbanot and prayer and Frumkai. But they don't get to the next step. Which is like typical, but it's so typical. I didn't want to bring examples from today, but when things are going good, there are these people back to religion. But when things go bad, but when there's national revival, what I will show you is that the Rishis Mechad Golotenu of the Temple of Yoshiel is super nationalistic. And the return to God is part of is a subcategory of nationalism, not of religion. It's not the people now we want to follow God, we want to be God's people. It's that the people are pro God because we're on a winning team.
Well, is that natural?
That's religion. I mean, that's a problem with religion all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what we're after this.
Very good.
I'm going to have to go and have bad weather, but...
It'll be here next week.
Yeah, no, I'm here until Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.